do this every day. Most of the faculty, surprisingly enough, have no idea about it. When you talk to them about the importance of finances, it's not surprising that many of them talk about education, patient care, and so on, which of course is their central role. On the other hand, we cannot be successful if we lose a lot of money. So they have to really be educated in a positive way about some of the principles that they have to participate in and agree to support. And I'll just mention some of them. As I say, I hope you won't think I'm being too simplistic. These are some of the slides that I've shown to faculty chairs repeatedly over the years. Well, the first thing is that the clinical revenues tend to support the other missions. This varies, again, depending on the robustness of the clinical income of the hospital and the practice plans. But in general, they make more money than education and research, as I'll come to. And you can see at the University of Pennsylvania, which I'm just using as an example, here's the money that research makes, mainly indirect costs, which come from the federal government, some foundations, and so on. But you can see tuition, philanthropy, endowment, and so on, tend to be very small in terms of the overall financial picture. Now, at the University of Illinois, there's more money that comes to you from the state to do some of the important goals and missions that you have. And some of this is appropriate because you take care of a large number of underprivileged patients who pay, or Medicaid pays, smaller amounts than private insurance. So again, there are many differences, but in general, the principle is clinical operations are more lucrative in terms of an academic medical center and practice plans in other areas outside a hospital than other sources of income. And here you can see I just took the operating budget that you're planning for next year at the University of Illinois for next year that you were kind enough to share. And you can see the most money is in medicine and the hospital and the practice plans. And when you compare this to many of the other financial things, as I think you'll get a picture later, you'll see that the most money is in there. It's $1 billion even between these two. And then there are all the other health science schools practice plans. There's much less money in educational stipends and research income. And I say this because it does imply that the practice of medicine, dentistry, nursing, and so forth has to be successful. We cannot really deliver great care at a loss and still be able to fulfill our other missions. And how we do that now, particularly with the changing healthcare environment, with the Affordable Care Act, is extremely important. Here's another principle that's important. Medicaid tends to pay less than the costs of the hospital in terms of direct and indirect costs. Medicare, in most institutions, allows one to break even, both on a direct and indirect cost basis. And private insurance tends to be the margin which allows one to make some money then to transfer to other missions such as education and research. Self-pay, of course, is very low. So understanding this allows one to think about when you look at your patient mix in terms of payer class, what the opportunities and challenges are, both in the practice plan and in the hospital in terms of reimbursement. Again, every place is unique, and I'm just using the University of Pennsylvania Health System as an example. Here's another principle that's very important. As I mentioned, in general, research doesn't pay for itself, and that's why the transfers from the clinical operation are so important. If you say sponsored research is $1, then direct and indirect costs tend to be a deficit of about 20 to 30%. So if you create research, even if it's fully funded as best we can by the National Institute of Health, which pay full overhead, in terms of the faculty salaries, upkeep of the labs, student engagement, payment for technicians, equipment, and so on, we're usually somewhere around 20 to 30% underfunding by the payers who pay for our research. Foundations pay less in terms of overhead.